Have you ever looked at a perfectly good airframe? One with decades of service data and a type certificate everybody trusts, and thought the only thing wrong with it is the engine? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, and this is Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about a company that asked that exact question and then actually did something about it. Ampere, based in Los Angeles. And their bet is simple but radical. You don't need to design a brand new electric airplane from scratch. You just need to replace the power plant in an airplane the world already knows how to fly, already knows how to maintain, and already knows how to certify. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins marking the milestones that actually matter in a flying career. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole progression, beautifully crafted and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. The electric aviation space has spent the last decade doing something that sounds logical, but is actually incredibly risky. Almost every startup you've heard of is designing a completely new airframe from the ground up. New wing, new fuselage, new control surfaces, new everything. And that means a completely new type certificate, which means years. Sometimes a decade, sometimes never. The certification path for a novel aircraft under Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, Part 23, or the new special conditions for powered lift is brutal. You're proving every single system from scratch, every structural load case, every failure mode, every corner of the flight envelope. Ampere looked at that and said, no thank you. What if we take a Cessna 208 Caravan, one of the most widely operated utility aircraft on the planet, and replace its Pratt & Whitney PT6 turboprop with a hybrid electric powertrain? You keep the airframe, you keep the wing, you keep the landing gear. You keep the known flight characteristics. You're filing for a supplemental type certificate, an STC, not a brand new type certificate. That is a fundamentally different regulatory conversation. And here's what most people miss about why that matters so much. An STC says to the FAA, we are modifying this one system on a known aircraft, and we can show you that everything else still works exactly the way it always did. The scope of testing shrinks enormously. You're not proving the wing can handle 3.8 Gs. Cessna already did that. You're not proving the landing gear can absorb a 6 foot per second sink rate. That data exists. You are proving that your new powertrain integrates safely with the existing electrical system, the existing fuel system, and the existing flight control architecture. The data tells an interesting story about how much faster this path can move. Ampere's test program started with a modified Cessna 337 Skymaster. They called it the electric EEL, twin boom, push-pull configuration. They replaced the front engine with an electric motor and kept the rear combustion engine. This gave them a hybrid architecture where either power plant could sustain flight independently. They flew it, they gathered data, they proved the concept in actual airspace, not in a simulator and not on a press release. Then they moved to the airplane that really matters commercially, the Cessna 208 Caravan. They call the modified version the Eco Caravan. Now, the Caravan is not some obscure experimental platform. There are roughly 3,000 of them flying worldwide. FedEx uses them, island hoppers use them, bush operators in Alaska and Africa use them. Missionary Aviation uses them. It is the Toyota Hilux of airplanes. Everybody knows it. Everybody trusts it. Parts are everywhere. Mechanics understand it. Training programs exist. Ampere's hybrid electric conversion keeps a conventional turbine engine but adds a supplemental electric propulsion system. The electric motor can provide power during takeoff and climb, which is where fuel burn is highest. During cruise, the system can optimize between electric and combustion power depending on mission requirements. The result, according to Ampere's published figures, is a fuel burn reduction in the range of 40 to 70% depending on the mission profile. Now, I want to be honest about that number because it's a wide range and the details matter. A 40% reduction on a longer stage length is a very different economic story than a 70% reduction on a short island hop. The shorter the mission, the more time you spend in the high power phases where electric boost makes the biggest difference. A 15-minute hop from one Hawaiian island to the next is going to see dramatically better numbers than a 2-hour utility run across interior Alaska. But even at the conservative end, 40% fuel savings on a Caravan changes the operating economics significantly. Jet A is one of the biggest line items for any Part 135 operator running Caravans on scheduled service. If you can cut that bill nearly in half without retraining your pilots, without rebuilding your maintenance infrastructure, and without waiting 8 years for a new type certificate, that is a genuine competitive advantage, And this is where the ampere approach gets really interesting from a systems perspective. Think about what they don't have to solve. They don't have to solve the battery density problem, not fully, because they still have a turbine engine on board. If the batteries run low, the combustion engine takes over seamlessly. There is no range anxiety. There is no degraded dispatch situation where a cold day in Juneau means you can't make the run because your battery capacity dropped 15%. The turbine is your insurance policy. They don't have to solve the charging infrastructure problem, not immediately, because the airplane can fly its full mission on turbine power alone. If you land at a field that has a charging station, great, top off the batteries. If you land at a dirt strip in the bush where the only electricity comes from a Honda generator, you're still flying the next morning. They don't have to convince the pilot workforce to retrain on a completely novel aircraft type. A caravan pilot walks into the cockpit and sees a caravan. The procedures are familiar. The sight picture on final is familiar. The approach speeds are familiar. There's a new system to manage, yes, but it's additive. It doesn't replace the mental model every caravan pilot already carries. Now let's talk about the caveats, because every technology story needs honest caveats. Weight is the obvious one. Batteries are heavy. Adding an electric motor, a battery pack, power electronics, and thermal management to an airframe that was designed around a single turboprop means you're eating into useful load. For a cargo operator, that means less freight. For a passenger operator, that might mean one fewer seat or reduced baggage. Ampere has been working to minimize this penalty, and advances in battery energy density help, but you cannot pretend the mass budget is free. Physics does not negotiate. Second caveat. Battery life cycle costs. Lithium-ion cells degrade over charge cycles. An operator who is running 6 flights a day needs to understand how many cycles those batteries will deliver before they need replacement, and what that replacement costs. If you save 40% on fuel but spend it all on battery pack swaps every 18 months, the economics don't close. Ampere will need to publish real-world durability data from extended revenue service before operators can model this with confidence. Third caveat, maintenance and repair station readiness. Right now, most Part 1, 45 repair stations that service caravans are tooled for turbine engines, not hybrid electric powertrains. The transition requires training, tooling, and in some cases, new certifications. This is solvable, but it takes time and it takes money, and operators in remote locations are going to be last in line. Fourth, and this one is subtle but important, thermal management in hot climates. Battery packs generate heat. Power electronics generate heat. If you're operating in the tropics, which is where a lot of caravans work, you need robust cooling systems that add weight, complexity, and potential failure modes. Operating a hybrid caravan in the Caribbean is a different thermal challenge than operating one in British Columbia. All that said, here's why I think the Ampere approach deserves attention from anyone who cares about the future of regional aviation. The retrofit model is inherently less risky than the clean sheet model. If Ampere's hybrid system works on the caravan, the same logic applies to other high-volume utility airframes. The Twin Otter, the King Air, potentially the Pilatus PC-12. Every aircraft type with a large installed base and hungry operators looking for fuel savings becomes a candidate. And the certification pathway they're pioneering. The STC route for hybrid electric modifications creates a template. If the FAA approves one hybrid STC, the next one moves faster because the agency has already developed internal expertise on how to evaluate these systems. The regulatory learning curve flattens with each approval. Ampere has been partnering with operators in Hawaii and other island markets where the stage lengths are short, the fuel costs are high because everything gets shipped in, and the environmental regulations are tightening. These are the beachhead markets. Prove it works there. And the case for mainland cargo routes follows naturally. They've also been working with NASA through the Electrified Powertrain Flight Demonstration Program, which gives them access to testing infrastructure and technical expertise that a startup couldn't build on its own. That's a smart use of government partnership. The competitive landscape is worth noting too. Magni X, which builds electric motors for aviation, has also tested powertrains on caravans. So Ampere is not alone in seeing this airframe as the right platform, but Ampere's integrated hybrid approach, where they design the full system, including energy management software, gives them a different value proposition than a company that sells motors as components. There's a philosophical argument here that I find compelling. As an engineer, aviation doesn't always advance through revolution. Sometimes it advances through intelligent evolution. The jet engine was a revolution. Glass cockpits were a revolution. but turbofan efficiency gains over the last 40 years have been evolutionary. Each generation of engine burns a few percent less fuel. Each new wing design squeezes a little more lift. Progress happens in increments, and those increments compound. Hybrid electric retrofit is an incremental approach to electrification. It doesn't promise to replace kerosene overnight, it promises to use less of it, starting now on airplanes that are already flying, with pilots who are already trained. And then, as battery technology improves over the next decade, the electric fraction of each flight gets larger. The turbine runs less, the fuel burn drops further. Eventually, maybe, you don't need the turbine at all. But that eventual future doesn't have to arrive before the first dollar of savings hits an operator's balance sheet. That's the key advantage. Hybrid lets you start today. Sources for this segment include published data from Ampere, reporting from Aviation Week and Flying Magazine, and NASA's Electrified Powertrain Flight Demonstration Documentation. You can find more about what we cover on Clear Direct at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. If the best airplane for the job already exists, maybe the smartest move is to just give it a better engine. See you next time.